It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. We've got a beautiful weekend ahead, and it's a good time to get out and get started on some yard work. Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension is here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, is also here. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show. And we're going to start off today by talking about how to prune shrubs and woody vines. So
yeah.
First, let's categorize. What kinds of plants are we talking about here?
The type I'm kind of referring to here are a lot of our multi-stem shrubs, things like lilacs and forsythia, viburnums, all of those kind of woody deciduous shrubs. Many of them have flowers at some point during the season or nice fall color or both, but that group of plants.
All right. Mm-hmm. And why are we talking about this right now? What's our window of opportunity?
Well,
here?
There's kind of two major seasons that most of these types of shrubs are pruned. They're either pruned in the late winter or early spring, so this time of year, or if they are an early flower, have like forsythia, even lilacs, some of the viburnums, that they flower first thing in the spring, you want to be prepared to do any pruning for those just after they've finished flowering. So we're either right in the middle of the time to do this work, or we're coming up on it so we can prepare for it.
All right. And why would you prune one of these shrubs? What is it that you see that makes you think, oh, this needs some work?
Well, there's a couple of things. Many of these shrubs bloom better on newer wood. Some of them bloom on new wood. Some of them bloom on previous year's growth. But as these shrubs age, the older the stem gets, the less floriferous it gets. So this is particularly true for some things like lilac. Really thick old canes in those shrubs don't bloom as well as newer growth. There are some shrubs that have a nicer form or habit if you can do some pruning. There are some that will have better foliage color on newer growth. And then some plants like red twig dogwood, the newer stems have much better color in the fall and winter. And so pruning out the old stuff can really help rejuvenate and promote more younger growth.
All right. So let's say you have an old lilac bush that's mm-hmm. not doing a lot in the spring. That's a good candidate. So
yes.
Do you wait to see that things maybe aren't as vibrant as they once were? Or are there other signs you should pick up on before that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the other big reason a lot of folks want to trim shrubs is because of their size. And things like lilac are good candidates for this because they do get very large with time. And most of us have them planted in places where they can't get that big. And so that alone is often one of the big drivers for doing something like this for people.
All right. Now, you mentioned that if it's something that's going to bloom early, mm-hmm. you want to maybe prune it right after it blooms. Would there be a reason if you, let's say, again, have a really old
sure.
lilac bush that you might want to do that pruning now?
Yeah, you could. And it's perfectly fine to do it now. The only reason we often recommend that is sometimes you can lose a lot of the floral show if you prune it this weekend rather than after it's done flowering, because all of these early spring bloomers form their flower buds the fall previous. And so if you do a lot of pruning on that plant, you may inadvertently remove a lot of those flower buds. And many of these plants like forsythia and lilac, you grow these things for the flowers because they are nothing special the rest of the year. So to further get rid of flowers is not always a real wonderful thing. But if the plant's overgrown, if it's not flowering well anyway, this is actually probably for the overall long-term plant health. This is a great time to do that pruning.
All right. And how do you approach it? If you decide that it is time to tackle
yeah.
one of these shrubs, what do you do?
So for most of these shrubs, do not get out a hedge clippers. If you need gumball-shaped plants in your life, then you need a lot of time, one. And two, you can go somewhere where people have those time, like a public garden, and see them. Most of these shrubs don't respond well to those. Their natural habit.
They're so fun to use.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you need to use them to cut down your ornamental grasses or
okay.
something like that. That's what we use hedge clippers for at Ryman Gardens, actually. They don't touch shrubs. Instead, what we're going to do is strategically remove older branches on these plants. So with the goal of never taking out more than about a third of the plant, we're going to go in and find the oldest, largest stems and remove them at the base. And that typically retains a nice natural structure in the plant. It typically makes the plant smaller, which is usually a goal for people. And it will promote when the spring weather arrives, which should be, you know, Sunday at this point, the way the weather is going. When spring does arrive, it promotes a lot of fresh new growth at the base of the plant, which is what we want. Now, if it's a shrub that's been, so we call that rejuvenation pruning. If it's a shrub that's been really neglected or is severely overgrown, you may decide to do what we call a renovation pruning. And this is the whole shrub all the way down to the ground. And when you do this, you may sacrifice flowering for a couple of years, especially on plants like lilac, but you will be rewarded with a much fresher new growth that will eventually have much better form and shape, and then you can keep up with it.
All right. And let's say you don't want to, you want to rejuvenate, mm-hmm. but you don't want to take the whole thing out.
Yeah. So that's we go in, remove, usually like on a shrub, like a lilac, it's like two, maybe three of the oldest stems. You'll pull those out at the base. It will make the plant shorter. It will retain the natural shape of the shrub, so it'll still look decent. And you'll still have all of those stems that will remain to flower for you.
All right. And Richard, I remember you telling us about a rule of thirds with lilac bushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never take out more than a third. So again, like Aaron said, if you have this old plant, go out there and just look at it and select several that are really the biggest ones, the oldest ones, and cut them off as close as you can to the ground. Just mm-hmm. get rid of them. And you do that over several years, 3 or 4 years, and by the end of 3 or 4 years, you have an entirely new shrub.
All right. Now, we also mentioned woody vines.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those.
Yeah. So woody vines, and for most of us, these are things like trumpet creeper, clematis or clematis, and maybe some other things like five-leaf akebia or
wisteria,
mm-hmm. maybe Boston ivy, Virginia creeper, that kind of stuff. Most of these vines are vigorous enough that you can trim them back fairly severely to help control them. And certain ones like trumpet creeper, often to keep them in check, that is something you will want to do, is cut them back maybe even within a foot of the ground potentially. Once all of these vines, once they're established, will be just fine with some pretty severe pruning. Now, some of them bloom on older growth, and if you do these very severe cutbacks, you may sacrifice flowers. There are some of the clematis types that if you do these really severe cutbacks, they're not going to bloom very well. So with those, you're going to wait, just like with the shrubs, you're going to wait till just after the flowers fade, and then you can do, usually you won't cut it quite that severely because it'll be the middle of the growing season at that point, but maybe by half, or go in and pull out all of the dead. As soon as you notice it starting to leaf out, that can help as well. But vines, I think, in some ways are a lot easier because most of them are really vigorous growers, and most of us have accidentally put a vine in a spot where we don't want it to get as big as it will anyway. So this type of annual or every other year kind of pruning, annual for something like trumpet creeper, maybe every other year for something a little less aggressive, can be really beneficial.
It's funny. I mean, talking about trumpet creeper, that's a it can be so aggressive. Mm-hmm. Would you just recommend kind of hacking it back every year to keep it in check?
Yes. In fact, I inherited a trumpet creeper at my house and I hacked it back every year, and then 1 year it just disappeared. And that was okay by me. And it didn't disappear because it disappeared because I meant for it to disappear, not because I stressed it out so much that it died, because that certainly was not the case. But it is something that, it is kind of sweet autumn clematis falls into this category for me, too. They're beautiful when they're in flower. They're really nice vines, but they get a little weedy sometimes. They're a little more aggressive than we really want them to be. And I think most gardeners go through a period of their life where they have these plants and then they work to get rid of these plants because they get a little overwhelming. But these annual types of of maintenance, trimming them back, can really help with a lot of this, because not only are you removing a lot of the material, but you're also removing a lot of the seed pods and hopefully some of the seed, too, to help prevent that spread.
All right. We're talking about pruning shrubs, woody vines right now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll answer your questions about any of the projects that you're working on, plants you're thinking about growing, yard work you're planning on doing in the coming weeks. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we already have some lilac and shrub-related questions here.
Oh,
so we'll go ahead and get started with those. This one is from Karen in Story City. Actually, she's starting with daffodils. I remembered lilacs, but Karen in Story City says, daffodils in a pot are done blooming. The leaves are starting to fade. Can I plant them in my garden?
Okay, you can. Most forest bulbs, like tulips, are so badly weakened during the forcing process that they really don't survive or do well once you plant them outdoors. But daffodils aren't an exception. So what I would do is let them die back completely when the foliage is completely dead, then remove that foliage, dig up the bulbs, and then what I would do would be to dry them for a week or two and then put them in a mesh bag, store them in a cool place, and then plant them this coming fall.
All right, and her other daffodil question, she says, the older daffodils outside are up and about 2 inches after they're done blooming. When can I split them apart?
If you want to divide those, again, wait until that foliage dies back completely. When it's brown, then you can dig them up, divide them, and replant.
One of the things she can do, too, is mark the clump with like a golf tee or something. Mm-hmm. That way she remembers where it's at. In case it dies back before she realizes it's all gone.
But it's important to leave the foliage because once they're actually blooming, they have used up all their food in their bulb. And so that 4 to 5 week period after blooming is when that foliage manufactures food and replenishes the food supply in the bulb.
And that's how you'll get your blooms next
year. Spring.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer your questions. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa with me, Erin Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Richard Giron is here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Ten 19 at Iowa Public Radio. Coming up on Fresh Air this morning at 11, comic Louie Anderson talks about his Emmy Award-winning performance as a woman in the FX series Baskets. He co-stars as Zach Galifianakis' mother. It's really hard to say. He'll talk about his modeling his character on his own mother and about drawing on some dark chapters of his one life for his stand-up comedy. That is coming up at 11 on Fresh Air. For the rest of today, we are seeing some light snow showers in the northwestern corner of the state, very light. There is an ongoing chance of some more light snow there. Our highs today, 30 northeast, 50 southwest. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, much warmer, mid-40s to mid-60s tomorrow. Then on Sunday, the highs from the mid-50s northeast to the upper 60s in the west, a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Monday.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we've been talking about pruning shrubs and woody vines. Time to get outside and do that, or at least make a plan. We're also answering your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Erin Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And here's a question from Mike in Nevada. When is it safe to move established asparagus plants to another location?
Not a good question. I don't have a good answer.
Okay. not a bad question.
Well, if you have an established plant, it's really not practical in that they have such a huge root system. If you try to dig them up and transplant them, they're so badly damaged, they never recover fully.
All right, so it's best to just start over.
Start over, yes.
All right. And his second question is when, and this one you can answer, when is it safe to relocate and transplant a lilac?
I would do so as soon as the ground is workable this spring. It's a little bit wet right now, probably too muddy, but as soon as you can get out there, the ground is moist and firm, then I would do so.
All right. To the phones, Jacob is on the line. Hi, Jacob.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's your question?
I have I planted about 23-foot tall Norway spruces last fall, back in the end of September, and also about a dozen Techne arborvitaes, about 5 to 6 foot tall. Kept them well watered up into the first week of December when it got really cold and the ground froze. Wondering when I should resume watering those for this spring. What I did was put 5-gallon buckets next to each one, and I had a small hole drilled in each one, and filled the bucket with the hose, and then it just trickled down. Did that a couple of times a week up until the ground froze. When should I resume watering again?
I would say as long as we're receiving normal rainfall in the spring and summer, like an inch or so each week, they're perfectly fine. But if we have a period where it hasn't rained for a couple weeks and the ground is getting dry, then I would water.
Okay. Sounds good. So, and I've got mulch around them, you know, so they do conserve for pretty well, but I just didn't know for sure when I should water again. So.
All right, Jacob. Thanks a lot for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Next up, we've got Marty in Ames. Hi, Marty.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you. My question this morning is same question for two types of shrubs. I have boxwood and yews that are around 35 years old. I would like to trim them back severely, but I don't want to cause demise. So what year would that be?
Well, you can get by with that with the yews, but you really probably can't with the boxwoods. They're not as forgiving. So I would probably wait on the yews and do that maybe another 2 or 3 weeks. And they do have the ability to grow back from bare stalks or bare branches, unlike most evergreens. So you can prune them back quite severely. Now, they may not look very good for a year or two.
Yeah.
Because they're going to start out putting out this new growth, and they're going to look rather straggly and kind of opened.
These both have new growth down below.
Oh, they do.
Underneath where I want to trim, yes.
That would help.
They've been fairly trimmed along the sides, but they're getting way too tall.
But they're going to look a little bit odd for maybe a year or two. But keep on shearing them or pruning them, and they'll kind of fill in and look nice in a year or two. As far as the boxwoods, they're not as forgiving. They're not as easy to grow. And so you can definitely prune them. I'd wait on those two until probably, I would guess, late March, early April, and maybe give them a light haircut or pruning.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, Marty. Thanks a lot for your call. And is this one of the occasions where you can pull out the super fun hedge trimmers?
Both of those plants have growth habits that are very conducive to using a hedge trimmers, which is why you often see them trimmed into boxes and gumballs and lollipops. The other stuff that we were talking, viburnums and lilacs and weigela and all the spireas, even some of them like bridal wreath, they don't respond very well to this type
of pruning.
It's like
torture to them.
Yeah. And then they're constantly trying to grow out of it, which makes them look even worse. And so it's just a battle that's hard to win.
A never-ending cycle there.
Yeah.
All right. Marty, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Sandy in West Des Moines. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. The question I have is, my son and family live in the Amana Colonies. They have some beautiful roses that are probably over 50 years old. They'd like to move them to an area where a picture shows they originally were many years ago. What do you recommend about the movement?
How big are they?
They're fairly large.
Okay.
I would say maybe 3 feet. They're very kind of bushy. They have a lot of wood in them.
Okay.
I haven't looked at them that closely.
I think I would begin by maybe taking out some of the old wood, some of the larger, older wood near the ground, making it a little bit smaller in size. And then I would take some twine, kind of wrap it around it so they're confined to a smaller area and easier to dig around. And then I would dig them up, keeping a ball of dirt around the soil or root system. And I would do this probably in another 2 or 3 weeks, once the ground is nice and firm and workable, and before the actual rose leaves out. And then put it right back in the ground at the same depth. Keep it well watered. It should be okay.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Sandy. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Rick is up next in West Des Moines. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Good morning.
What's your question?
Yes. I was just wondering, I actually have some grapevines that are in their fifth season, and I last season trained them down to more of a bush style. And I was wondering, how much should I be cutting the plant down, and should I be leaving some budding at the cut or below the cut?
Okay, are they growing on some type of trellis or support system?
Well, I've got some wires running across for them to grow up to, and then I kind of train them up those annually.
Okay. Typically, if you have a very vigorous grapevine, you may have a huge vine that has 250 buds capable of producing fruit, and that is way, way too many. If your aim is to produce a good quality crop, you want to reduce that down to maybe 40 to 60 buds that will produce fruit. And only last year's growth produces fruit clusters. So it's important to prune off quite a bit of that growth produced last year. And you also want to leave several little shoots that will produce vines for next year as far as fruit. So that's the main thing, is that you have to remove quite a bit of last year's growth, leave enough to produce a good crop, but get rid of quite a bit of that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Rick. 866-780-9100. Next up, let's go to Linda in Des Moines. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having to take down about a 50-foot soft maple tree, which is leaning perilously toward the porch. And my plan is, if I take one down, I plant two. City of Des Moines is giving away tiny trees, the choices being hackberry, white oak, white pine, serviceberry, redbud, and Kentucky coffee tree. What would be my best choice to replace this maple tree? Occasionally wet feet.
Okay.
There are some well-established trees. By well-established, I mean 60, 70-foot trees around that, so a little bit shady.
Okay.
What would be my best choices?
Well, I would say to begin with that the redbud and serviceberry are not shade trees. They're small ornamental trees. They might get to be 20, 25 feet tall, but they're definitely not a shade tree. So if that's what you're looking for, you wouldn't want to choose those. But they're nice if you if you want to have a small ornamental tree. They're great trees. As far as a tree, I guess I might choose the hackberry.
I was going to say the hackberry, too, especially considering the site that you just described.
Because they're native trees, and they're very durable and very adaptable. They'll grow almost anywhere. Now, they don't have attractive fall foliage or anything of that nature. They don't have attractive flowers, but they're a native tree, and they're very well adapted.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Linda. Sounds like a nice program. 866-780-9100 is the number, and we'll go to Marie in Des Moines next. Hi, Marie.
Hi, good morning. At Christmas time, one of the big box stores had some dwarf Alberta spruce and a small emerald green arborvitae, and I bought several of each, and I just need to know when I can plant them.
Well, the challenge with those plants is going to be you'll want to make sure that overall the throes of winter are over, because these are plants that have already probably started to bud out and grow some. And if we get if you put them outside and it gets really cold again, and by really cold, I mean down in even into the 20s, you could see a lot of damage to the plant. And so normally we would suggest as soon as the ground can be worked to put them in. But for these plants in particular, because they've probably already begun to grow, because they were in the store during Christmas, you'll want to be sure that you're fairly confident that the really cold weather is done. And you can't predict the future, which means I would aim for mid to late April probably.
Oh, that's not too bad. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Marie.
This is one of the reasons why live Christmas trees are so problematic, actually, because they start growing indoors, and then when you put them outside for the winter, they die because the cold weather is so hard on those new growing points.
So you would need to just
hold on to it somewhere where it's hold on to it somewhere where it's warm enough, and then put it out when
have
it does
Valentine's
get warm
Day tree and an Easter tree.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Here's a question from Mary in Des Moines. I've got a butterfly bush. When can I prune it, and how far back?
Well, I would wait until you see signs of growth on that, because they typically die back quite a bit. And so I would wait probably until maybe late April, early May, and then remove all the dead wood. And again, you may lose most of the shrub, but it will come back very quickly.
All right. Here's a question from Jennifer. I have an established clematis that I would like to take with us when we move. Uh-huh. Are there any times that are not recommended for replanting, and how should I go about replanting it, specifically removing it from the trellis without damaging the plant too much?
Okay. It's going to be difficult. What I would suggest, again, as soon as the ground is workable, dig it up, put it in a large pot, prune it back, and maintain it as best you can until you get back in the ground. But you can typically moving it once it starts to grow is going to be very, very difficult. So you're going to have to do it fairly soon.
All right. Is there a way to take a cutting or something like that that might be a better plan?
Yeah, they don't really root very well as far as a cutting. So I think their best bet is to do it early before the plant begins to grow, put it in a pot, keep it well maintained, and then they can plant it any time during the growing season.
All right. Here's a question from Fran in Ames. When is the best time to spot plant grass seed for bare patches in the lawn?
Well, actually, the best time is late summer. Most people think spring, but actually it's late summer. Typically, when you do it in the spring, you tend to get far more weed seeds germinating than grass seed. And so you end up with a lot of weeds and very little grass. They can try it this spring. I would wait until probably mid-April or so. But the best time basically is actually late August, early September.
All right. And from Ellen, is it too late to prune out bur oak? Also, when is the best time to prune forsythia, oak leaf, and tardivia hydrangea?
Oh, yeah.
As far as the oaks, we typically say you want to prune those in basically the winter when they're basically fully dormant, December, January, February. And the main concern there is oak wilt, which is spread by an insect. And so they definitely don't want to do it in the spring and summer. March is kind of a changeover month, but I would say because of the warm weather in recent weeks, I would not do it at this point. I think it's a little bit too late.
All right.
The forsythia and the hydrangeas, the forsythia, do it right after it's done flowering. It flowers really early anyway. The hydrangeas, the oak leaf hydrangea blooms on new growth, and so your best bet is to wait till after it flowers if you don't want to sacrifice flowering. You can prune it, of course, now. You might lose a few flowers doing it that way. The tardiva is a panicle-type hydrangea, and they bloom on new growth. So you could do that now.
All right, and now I know how to say it for next time. All right, let's go back to the phones. Deborah's on the line. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. My son has this overgrown lilac in the backyard, and he has a fence halfway through. He bought the house about 4 years ago, and he wants to move that lilac bush. And it's old.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be possible to move the entire plant. What I would be inclined to do is maybe to dig up some suckers around the periphery and transplant those. You can do that, but that older plant is huge. It has a huge root system. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to move that, I don't think, at all. So I would try digging up some of the suckers, because they do sucker, and it's pretty easy to do.
And can we do that now or when they start coming up?
I would say you probably should see suckers from last year already around the periphery of that plant, and I'd probably do that maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. They're going to be small, maybe a few inches tall, but most lilacs sucker, and if they did last year, they should be present, and I would dig those up.
Thank you much.
All right, Deborah, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Renee in Waterloo. Hi, Renee.
Hello.
What's your question?
For you. I came upon about 80 daffodil bulbs, nice daffodil bulbs, last October, and I packaged them up real nice and put them in newspaper and mesh and put them in a little corner in my basement. Can I please plant them this spring?
Well, what I would do is check their condition. My concern is
I've been checking them.
Okay. Because they don't typically store very well long term. And usually what happens is that they tend to dry out and eventually die. So if you still think they're still solid and firm, then I would go ahead and plant them as soon as you can. They're not going to bloom this year, but they need to send up foliage. And if they do, maybe in a couple of years, they will eventually bloom.
Awesome.
All right.
I think you made her day.
Yeah, thanks, Renee.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye. 866-780-9100 is the number for you to call. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send emails to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I think we've got a quick question here. I ordered 80 bare root daylily crowns. They were shipped in a plastic bag with light soil mixture around them. I intend to put them in the ground as soon as the soil's workable. How do I take care of them until then?
I would put them in a plastic bag and put them in a cool place.
The
like
refrigerator?
The garage would be fine.
Okay. The garage is better because it doesn't suck the moisture out?
Well, I think the refrigerator, most people don't have room in there. But, but if you have room, that's fine too.
All right. Great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. With me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you are welcome to ask your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We'll get back to the phones. Eric is on the line in Dallas Center. Hi, Eric.
Hi. My yard in the last year or so has seemed to be, I don't know if it's earthworms or something, but it's like walking on a rug with a bunch of golf balls below it.
Okay.
It's just lumpier. Is there anything I can do? Is it a healthy lawn? Do I,
Yeah, a number of things contribute to that. Earthworms definitely do. The night crawlers definitely do. Also, you have the freezing and thawing during the winter months that tends to help on that too. So, it's not unusual to have a bumpy lawn, especially older lawns. As far as correcting that, the best that you can probably do is to go out maybe in a few weeks and core aerate the yard where you pull out plugs of soil. And run the, if you rent one, run it over the yard maybe three or four times, pull out quite a few plugs. And hopefully what happens is that the soil kind of falls into the low spots and it kind of levels it off a little bit. You typically do not want to use a roller on it because, yes, that will make it more level temporarily, but it compacts the ground, and so you lose some of the grass. So you have thinner grass. And with the night crawler still being there, eventually it ends up being worse than it was before. So I would try aeration. You can aerate basically in the spring, probably around mid-April or so. You can also aerate in September.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Eric. And next we've got Amy in Dubuque. Hi, Amy.
Yes. Hi. Hey, I've got a peach tree that I was planning to prune back as soon as the last frost was done. And it's already started to bud out. So is it okay to still cut that back?
Oh, you can still prune. The actual buds have been there since late last summer. So they are starting to swell, but they haven't started to leaf out yet. So I would say you can still prune. And this includes your apples and your pears and cherries. You can still prune those sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks would be fine.
Okay. So if we happen to get another hard frost, a freeze, it'll be still okay if I prune it back?
Yeah, it's still fine. Right, it's still fine. You could do it today, you could do it tomorrow or this weekend, that's fine. And if we have a frost or freeze after that, it's not going to affect the tree at all.
Oh, that's good news. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Amy. And next we've got Todd in Indianola. Similar question. Hello, Todd.
Hi. My question is about fairly severe pruning of an old apple tree. This one's about 40 feet high, and it's got one good long central leader and then two arms, kind of like a saguaro cactus. And it's getting to where it's overgrown and all the apples are way up in the top of the tree. And a neighbor suggested cutting off those two arms and then topping the central leader at about 15 to 20 feet. And I wondered what you thought of that idea.
Well, I think what you're going to have to do on this is to prune it back over maybe 3, 4, or 5 years. You don't want to do too much at once. And I guess what the first thing you could do would be, if you have some branches that are growing upward, is to go down those upward branches and look for a horizontal type branch coming from the main branch and prune that vertical branch back to the horizontal branch.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you can reduce the height that way. Then that branch still has a growing point. It's now the horizontal branch. You don't want to make an indiscriminate cut at the top because you get a lot of sprouting at the very right below the pruning cut. So cut it back to maybe a horizontal branch. I would also prune out basically any...
It doesn't necessarily have to be the first horizontal branch,
No. Just look for a nice kind of horizontal branch, healthy, vigorous side branch. Cut it back to that point.
Uh-huh.
I would also then cut out any dead wood, any broken branches, do that. And then I would probably stop. And then next year I'd come out and I would take out maybe branches growing inward rather than outward, branches hanging down too low, that type of thing. Also, if you have branches that kind of cross and rub against one another, take out one of those. Do that then next year. And then the following year, maybe some thinning where you take out some of the smaller branches in the tree.
Okay.
So more gradual.
But you would leave all three of the main trunks alone.
I think I would at this point, yes.
Yeah.
And prune in all three of them, the way you described.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Great.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call, Todd. Here's a question from Kevin. He said, I have all three type of the shrubs first discussed in the show today. The viburnum I have is specifically Mohican. Do I prune the same as I do for lilac and forsythia? It's 7 years old, never pruned, but they don't seem to expand from the base or have spread like the other two. Most of the new growth seems to be like water sprouts. These are used for privacy, and I don't want to thin them too much.
Yeah, so some of the viburnums don't sucker as much as others, and if you had a lot of damage to that shrub, it probably would sucker up from the base. But a lot of them are sold with kind of a major stem, and a lot of times they maintain that stem. You can still remove branches back to their origin to help open the shrub up, or to help kind of shape the shrub that way. If you're feeling a little leery about cutting it all the way down to the ground on a shrub that doesn't seem to have a lot of suckering. So you can still approach it in a similar way. You just, instead of removing it all the way down to the ground, you're selecting some of the branches and removing them where they came from, essentially, their origin.
All right. We've got another shrub pruning question, this time from Marge in Corden. Hi, Marge.
Hi.
What's your question?
I'm here.
Yep.
Well, I have a potentilla bush that I have in front of my front porch, and I haven't done anything to it, but it looks kind of messy.
Yeah.
Would it hurt if I cut it clear back this spring and let it grow up?
Actually, that's a good procedure. That's a good procedure because the potentillas, they're kind of like some of the Japanese spireas. After maybe 2 or 3 years, they kind of look rather straggly, unkempt. And what you can do is simply cut them back to ground level, and they'll come back and be just fine.
6 inches all the way down.
Yeah.
All right, Marge, thanks for your call. Danielle is on the line in Ames. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. So I was wondering, I have a large lily garden, and I have multiple colors. And I live by the Munn Woods in Ames. And for some reason, the deer only eat my red lilies. Is there a reason that they only eat the red ones?
Not that I know of.
You know, the only thing I can think of is deer are very habitual. They have their places, their go-tos, their trails, their spots. And if your red ones are... are in one of those spots, that may be the only reason why.
Okay, because they have like a path that goes down my street and they eat out of everyone's mailbox garden. and I watch them every night, but they literally only touch my red lilies. And I was wondering, is there something I can plant around my lily garden to stop them from coming into it, or?
Not effectively, no.
Okay.
The only thing that's effective, basically, would be fencing, where you physically prevent them from reaching the plants. Otherwise, you can try repellents. Oftentimes, the results are very disappointing. You can try them, but usually it has to be fencing. That's foolproof.
Yep, that's what my father-in-law told me. Their whole backyard is fenced in with an electric fence.
Yeah.
Yep, so, well, thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Danielle, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100. I don't even know if deer can see red. So
I'm not sure either. Are they colorblind or not? I'm not sure either.
I don't know either.
It's a good question. All right. Here's a question from Becky. I had a pond built for hard water lilies last fall. They used local clay and then placed some heaps of soil for me to place hardy water lilies. Which hardy water lilies do you recommend, and how and when do I plant them?
I think any of them that are labeled hardy should be fine. In terms of when to planting, I think most folks do a lot of this stuff in the spring. I think it'll depend, too, on what you're getting. If you're getting little divisions, if you're growing them from containerized plants, if you're getting them mail order, so almost like bare root. But I think most of the time that stuff is done best in the springtime.
All right. And she wants to know if you're going to be selling them at Ryman Gardens.
I don't think we're going to have any water lilies this year. We'll have a lot of different stuff, but I don't think we'll have any water plants.
All right. Here's a question from Kay. Even with rotation practices and clean tools, I have a variety of plant diseases, verticillium wilt, fusarium, probably others. What do you know about using black plastic to heat my garden beds and compost pile to kill these diseases?
It typically doesn't work very well in that we don't get high enough temperatures in Iowa to kill them, because you need a temperature typically like 160, 180 degrees, and we just typically don't get high enough temperatures that goes down deep enough into the ground. So it doesn't work very well.
All right, and here's a question from David. I planted about 70 bulbs of garlic last November and covered them with about 2 inches of hay. I checked on them this week. It's all coming up. My question is, should I uncover the garlic now? My worry is that the mulch is too thick. It was pretty moist and moldy underneath. The stalks are about 3 inches tall from the soil.
I think I would be inclined to loosen it a little bit, kind of air it out, loosen it, and just let the plants come up through it. But if you loosen it, maybe with a rake or something, that should be, I think, sufficient.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Wade is on the line in Clive. Hi, Wade.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
I have some tricolor evergreen trees in my yard. And over the last year or so, they've kind of gotten sickly in a series. I've got six of them, and one of them's real healthy looking, and at the other end of the scale, one of them's lost a lot of foliage and the tree's thinning out. I've done a little research on my own, which indicates I might have some kind of fungus, but I was wondering if you had some ideas about what I might have and what I might be able to do about it.
What kind of plant is it again?
These are evergreen trees, tricolors they're called, I think.
Oh, concolor? Concolor, possibly?
Concolors, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, cool. Concolor firs. And what are you seeing that concerns you?
Trees just thin out. They lose foliage and density, so you can see right through them, you know. And these are big trees that are 20, 25 feet tall. And they look real, they get to where they look real spindly. And sickly, in fact, I took one out last year, and it just seems to be something kind of spreading through these trees. Now, I have other kinds of evergreen trees in the yards that haven't changed a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think what I'd probably do in your case would be, now, the concolor fir is a very attractive tree, and it has relatively few pest problems, But I think what I would do is be to send a sample to our plant and insect diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State and see if they can determine the cause. If you go to the Iowa State University homepage and type in plant and insect diagnostic clinic, it should go right to the site. And they'll tell you how to send a sample
in. And that'll tell me how to do it and send the sample in.
The address, the procedure, yes, everything is there.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Wade. Next up, Gene in Humble. Hi, Gene.
Hi there.
What's your question?
We have a trellis in our backyard, and for the last several years, 3 years at least, we've tried to grow an autumn clematis on it, and we've had very little success. I've watered it. I don't know what the problem is, but our daughter called this week and wants to be married this summer under that trellis, and I would love to have some flowering something growing on that. Is there anything you can recommend?
Well, if you want something in 1 year, there are a lot of annual vines that might be good choices for you. Things like, you know, some of these you may end up having year after year. Things like morning glories and cardinal vine are very quick to fill in. They sometimes reseed a little bit, so you have to be a little wary of that. But morning glory, cardinal vine, I would also look at hyacinth bean, which would be a very attractive, especially a little bit later in the season, with big purple bean pods on it and purple flowers. But I would look at some of these annual vines that you grow from seed. Many of them grow very quickly, and they should cover that trellis very nicely by mid to late season.
Thank you very much.
All right, Gene, thanks a lot for your call. Here's a question from Alice in North Liberty. I've got switchgrass in my yard. Should I cut it down or just leave it alone? I've seen people do both.
I would cut it back just for appearance sake.
And I do that now.
Okay. Linda says, what's the best product to use to acidify the soil for blueberries?
What I would do is, when they're planting those, to dig a hole and take half of the soil and mix that with an equal amount of sphagnum peat moss, which is very acidic, and then backfill with that 50-50 mix of soil and peat, and that should do a very good job of lowering the pH. If you use something like sulfur or ammonium sulfate, it takes about a year or two for that material to lower the pH effectively. So I would use the sphagnum peat moss, and then once they're planted, I would probably go out there every spring and sprinkle a little bit of ammonium sulfate around each plant.
All right. Here's a question from Kevin in West Des Moines. Is it too late to trim back yews this year due to warm temperatures?
No.
No.
All right. We'll continue the lightning round. This one's from Nick. I grow four different types of hops for home brewing. When is the best time to trim back rhizomes for transplanting? Ooh, tough one.
We don't know. I don't know.
Aaron? All right. I'm not sure when the best time to do that. I mean, I would suspect it's springtime, but I would have to double check and look into that more. I'm not as familiar with that.
All right, and we'll circle back to the topic we started with from Lori. I live in northern Iowa. Is this weekend still okay to prune my lilacs? Yes, but she might want to wait until after they bloom, right?
Well, it depends on what she wants to do. And, you know, if they're really bad and they need a complete renovation, do it now. If they're not too bad, you can wait till after they're done flowering. Otherwise, I would be inclined to do some kind of work now.
All right. Aaron Stile, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We'll be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day. Of course, Talk of Iowa is on the air every weekday. We love to hear from you. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk. I'm on Twitter, too, @CharityNebby. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Have a great weekend.